Okay, reading from the Jivadharma, Chapter 2. The unalloyed Vaishnav Dharma that has been depicted in the Bhagavatam is eternal religion, Nitya Dharma. Various types of Dharma propagated in the world may be divided into three categories. Nitya Dharma, Naimittika Dharma, circumstantial Dharma, impermanent religion. Nitya Dharma is religion that does not speak about the existence of Ishvara, does not accept the eternality of the soul. Naimittika Dharma acknowledges the existence of Ishvara, the eternality of the soul, it only endeavors to obtain the mercy of Ishvara through provisional method. Nitya Dharma strives to obtain the service of Bhagavan by unalloyed prema. Janatimarandasya Jananjana Shalataya Aksur Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mahishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Rubhyashta Kripashindu Bhayeva Cha Atitanam Bhavanebhyo Navebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Vivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. He gets it. Greetings from New Jersey. I just left New York City this morning. And before we begin the class on Jivadharma, I just got a text message from Seva Priya that this is the 14th anniversary of the passing away of Krishnamayi, who is a student of mine and who passed away in Vrindavan, which was quite glorious. She was kind of a lady from Tennessee that was a friend of Seva Priya's, who had a very, very hard life. And, you know, she got pregnant and she had a young daughter out of wedlock. And even got involved in drugs and bad association. She used to visit the Texas temples when Seva Priya was first coming many, many years ago. Somehow or other, when you go through a lot of difficulty and you have a very, very hard life, then you can invoke a certain natural humility, because hard life means that you're not able to control your world, and sometimes you realize that. And sometimes when Krishna puts the world beyond us, it's because we're meant to realize that. So controlling the world means just the normal things, you know, are in place. You know, you have your husband, you have your family, you have your job, you're happy. But sometimes when so many things are disrupted and there's so much pain and suffering in your life, somehow it gives you that humility sometimes. and I'm not the controller. So she had a nice, simple humility. And even if she wasn't highly educated or intellectual or something, and, you know, to make a long story short, at the end of her life, even though she had like a four-year-old daughter, she went to Vrindavan to leave her body. And her best friend, Seva Priya, made that wonderful sacrifice. Sacrifice means what? It means you give up the things in your world that you would normally want there according to your desires, like, you know, peacefulness, and at the time Seva Priya was, you know, school and so many things were getting set in her life that she had to put everything on hold. And I also flew back to Vrindavan because it was the summer to be with it, her. And you know, I remember her body going down quickly and trying to get her at least an experience of Vrindavan. I remember taking her to Radhakund kind of like for a bath. And you know, I have such fond memories. I initiated her there also in Vrindavan in her last days. That was the first time she wore a sari. And I remember you know, she had that simplicity. And, you know, she used to really like, I remember used to read a Krishna book, and she really used to like to hear the pastimes of Krishna. Remember, I asked her why she was so much into the pastimes. I don't know if I can imitate it or something. I asked her, well, if you're going to go to Krishna, you got to know what he likes to do, what he likes to eat. I remember some really famous kirtaneers coming. Pati Krishna, most famous Rasleela classical singers. And I remember we brought an Ayurvedic doctor to see if she could be cured. You know, he said he couldn't do anything. And then she told me, she said, if the doctor said I was cured, it would be the most unhappy day of my life if I want to go back to Krishna. And I was 14 years old. And I remember, you know, I was in the apartment. I used to stay in there, Vrindavan Giriraj Swami's house, and somehow or other, I had some kind of inspiration to go in the morning. I'd regularly go and spend time. So when I came in the morning, Krishna Kumari was there, and she said, I think she's leaving. Can you please chant? And I began to chant, and when you're in that circumstance, it's a crucial time because it's a person's transition. And so important what their consciousness is. Because whatever your consciousness is, your bhava, your mood at the time of death, to that destination you go. Of course, you have the answer that's just getting you to see of dying in Vrindavan. And, yeah, I remember I started chanting and I realized that, you know, I could be here for hours. I'm going to chant to the end. And started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare.
And I began to chant, and then Sevapriya went to call her parents and tell her parents. It was so poignant. We were just chanting, and and then Sevapriya came, and it was so touching. Looked at her and said, just spoke to your parents. They said they love you, but now you can go. And you can go to Krishna. And then Sevapriya said something like, I forgot, well, if you're going to go to Krishna, what are you going to do? Are you going to make garlands for Krishna? Are you going to cook for Krishna? Are you going to cook halva for Krishna? And then, you know, in that auspicious moment, she left. And we had beautiful pictures, how effulgent she looked. So I just received a text message, and I'm very happy that we can remember her. And I remember she had such a hard life, and one of my friends, I have a saintly friend in Delhi, and he, and I was staying at his house, and saintly friend in Delhi, and I was staying at his house, and he wasn't there. He worked in Africa, but he called me up. What's happening? And he said, sometimes I think that when God's merciful to someone, they give them karma in one life. And that's the way the karma works. There's a stock load of karma, all meant to good and bad things moving to us, the ultimate purpose of elevating our consciousness, because that's how destiny works. Anything that happens to us is to elevate our consciousness. And ultimately, a spiritual person looks at their fortune into their consciousness. I remember when I took sannyas from Satsrup Maharaj, he repeated what the instruction Prabhupada gave him, that if you're a sannyasi, a renunciate, you go into a rich man's house, never think, you know, I could have had this. Because a spiritual person, especially someone who's trying to renounce the world, and that's his proclivity, should never benefit in terms of one's destiny, in terms of what's happening to them and followers or education or fame or any opulence, but someone's wealth in terms of consciousness. They do happiness indexes in different parts of the world. People who are happy are not necessarily the people who have the most wealth, certainly not the most promiscuity. It's the people who have the inner satisfaction, which a lot of times is more a humble life than it is with an opulent life, for many reasons. Ultimately, consciousness means love. The symptom of the soul is consciousness, which reaches its fruition in love. So your devotion or love, that's really fortune. And sometimes in great tragedies, help to elevate one's consciousness by humbling one. I'm not the controller. And therefore feeling love. I'm not the controller, and therefore feeling love in the heart. So that's the 12-step program. Drug addicts sometimes and basically that's one of the ways in which God purifies us when we follow our greed, when we follow our anger, when we follow all these things, we become so fearful because it puts us so much in the bottom perception of life. From that arises such fear. Because the more you identify with the body, then the more fear you have of non-existence of the body and the transformations of the body. So somehow or other, this humble girl, not very educated, didn't seem to have a level of wisdom, but had a certain sadness about her, actually. A certain hopelessness. But ultimately, it gave her a certain trust and dependence that allowed her to elevate her consciousness. She's probably more happy in the last days of her life than during her whole life. And that's such a difference. Pain and pleasure is not equated to stress. Because someone can be in pain without spiritual knowledge at the time of death, be so much out of fear. The same person in pain can have hope and happiness if they've sufficiently in their life and especially embraced the identity of the soul. And someone can have pleasure. But if it's a type of pleasure that's in ignorance, it can degrade the consciousness to a lower level of perception and contentment. So the pleasure pain may be not suffering in the same sense. So she was wonderful. Her name was Krishnamayi. I may not have given your name. That means Radharani's name is full with Krishna. And I'm so happy that Seva Priya reminded me of that for the class. I can remember a very wonderful, wonderful devotee. She had simple faith. If the doctor came and told me that I'd be cured, it'd be the most unhappiest day of my life because I want to go back to Krishna. So, and Amrita, the famous kirtan singer, she had come to put her mother's ashes in the Jamuna, and she all came, and she's the kirtan. So, Seva Priya, Krishna Kumari, and Amrita, so wonderful. And I was fortunate to be them. Representing the father, we took the body to the Jamuna, and body was burnt, and so nice to remember. Now we'll go on to, so of course we're studying Jiva Dharma, and it's a beautiful novel of, really it takes place mostly in one of the islands of Navadvipa, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's
different activities, and there's one island, Gojrim Dweep. It's beautiful even to this day. And a Kunj and a forest bower. In those times, it was so secluded. The generation after Lord Chaitanya and his great Babaji's, Paramahamsa Babaji's, praying Babaji's. Baba means respectable man. Babaji means very respectable man. Saints who have really renounced the world and their hearts have absolute, utter humility, which is the sense of love, especially in Vaishnavism, the sense of separation from God is so valuable in one's life. It's your only value. And in that spiritual mood of love and patience, it creates the most intense type of humility that invokes the highest sense of love. Well, different people at that time that come to into the person who comes, they have different concerns about, like a scientists may come to Krishna consciousness, and then for him to gain faith, you know, science may have to be that. A Brahmin may come to Krishna consciousness, and according to his thing, he may have to understand, you know, the spiritual above just the caste system. And materialists may come and may have to understand that this world is temporary and suffering, and money is not the goal of life, and, you know, different things. And then some, they may need to understand the scriptures and this shastra. Anyway, it all happens, and it's really done by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So the first person that was a Mayavadi impersonalist sannyasi who achieved a very high stage of elevation, but then met, somehow he met a great devotee. And even though he break his meditation for that, just by hearing that love in the devotee's heart, he understood that austerities and cultivated knowledge, his consciousness was missing that. And somehow he got faith in that, in the sublimity of devotion in the heart, sublimity of devotion in the heart, began searching that. Make a long story short, he meets the Babaji, and we see the wonderful Vaishnav relationships, and then he asks this Prem Das Babaji, he wants to know about Dharma, because he's heard so many versions of it, although Dharma should not. And Prem Das Babaji gives a very beautiful exposition about Dharma and explains that Dharma is one. But Dharma is not, it's not a particular faith, it's the nature of the soul to love God. So that's the real Dharma. And of course, in this exposition, it feels that although he who loves God, his religion is perfect, the most pristine and full manifestation of that is the Vaishnav Dharma. Or everything is Vaishnav Dharma. It's to actually surrender and love to God. And that the confusion that there are many Dharmas, because what's mentioned here is very interesting. There's three types of religion or dharma. One doesn't mention, it's really a nitya dharma. It's not dharma, actually. Because like Buddhism is not, it's atheistic, completely atheistic. Not only doesn't accept the eternality of the soul, it doesn't accept that there's a soul. It believes, I don't know what it believes, right? It's hard for me to even understand, but it doesn't believe doesn't believe we're people. It believes all that's happening is events. Without objects, there's no consciousness. It's so different from really what's in the Vedas. They may have different views in the Vedas about what that consciousness is, but there is an element, an entity, that's experiencing something and then later remembers it. Not a different situation. Anyway, and then there's Naimittika Dharma, and Naimittika Dharma, as it's mentioned here, is occasional karma. Like we have duties as men, we have duties as women, we have duties as parents, we have duties as children, we have duties as teachers, we have duties as warriors. So there's so many different types of duties, but they're and they help to purify us, but they're not the Nitya Dharma because they change. They change, and therefore they're not as powerful in purification and realizing the soul because it's external to the soul. It's really external to the soul. So what Nitya Dharma means is prema, love of Godhead. So that's the eternal, this book is called Jiva Dharma, basically. What is the duty of the jiva? Our ultimate duty is to serve God. And that duty never changes. And that ultimately is who we are. That's what self-realization means. It means to understand who we are. Who are we? Jivera Sarupahoi Krishnera Nitya Das. We are servants of Krishna. That's, if you know, when you become free from illusion, which is the goal of spirituality and the cultivation of knowledge, and when you're free from illusion, you can actually see what's there. It's there when you become free from illusion. Well, there's God. And God has prashi shaktir bidhashuyate. God has energies. And the purpose of the energies is for his God's enjoyment. So those energies is love. This shakti energy is meant to please. That ultimate reality is love. And love requires three things that are distinct. It requires a lover, the object of lover, the object of love, and the love itself. So we're meant to be the lover. Our role in the eternal reality of God. And the lover of God holds within their heart the energy of God called the love. So we're receptacles, but because we don't want to be that for some reason. That's the ego. You don't want to be the servant. Then our hearts don't become suitable receptacles for that love. And pleasure, because there's no different. That's the Ladini Shakti. That's the pleasure potency. When you love, that is pleasure. There's someone who's actually seeking to be happy has to figure out how I become a receptacle of love. And for that, you have to get rid of the ego, the desire to be God, basically. The desire, you know, look in your lives and analyze your consciousness. How much are you thinking, my desire, me, my desire, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm this, I'm that? How much are you just so concerned, so consumed with your desire so consumed that all that's going up there, I want this, I don't want this, I want this, I don't want this. I want that. How much is it? Krishna, what do you want? What do you don't want? And that's also the idea with accepting a guru. It's all about that shift of consciousness from ego, false ego. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. The real ego. Krishna is the enjoyer. Krishna is the controller. And I am the servant of Krishna, and I am meant to love Krishna. So, that's prema. That's prema. Now, in this particular chapter, after this sannyas thakur, this, you know, he hears about, he's very intellectual, he's very smart, so he asks questions. If the jiva, he heard that this is the Nitya Dharma, and a very interesting explanation of how suffering takes place. It's when you lose your essence. When you lose your essence, that's suffering. And he gives the example, the essence of water is liquidity, and when it becomes transformed, it becomes ice. There's certain conditions that transform us in a way that is not experienced. Our essence is not experienced. Our essence is to serve God, and somehow it becomes transformed. It becomes transformed in a way that experience that. We're not cognizant of that. Just like the ice there, but it can't access its liquidity in that condition. So the egotistical condition, we cannot access our essence. And then one thing when bhakti is creating the love of Godhead to manifest in the heart. So the question is, he heard that, and then he thinks about it, comes back the next day. He says, if the jiva is infinitesimal, how can it eternal dharma be full and pure? Because he explained that the jiva is a vastu. It is a thing in itself. It's part of God. The part's constitution is to serve the whole. But it's anuvastu rather than brihadvastu. God is the great substance. We are the very tiny, insignificant substance. So it's a very, very important. And the point is that psi have anything to do with love. It's either infinitesimal or dharma. Our essence can be so pure and full. And he says that the natural function of the jiva is formed at the time he's constructed. How can that function be eternal? If we're created by God, how can it be eternal? Well, the answer is that it's just like the sun rays are coming from the sun. The sun is first. So you can't have the sun without the sun rays. So the jiva is eternal. It's kind of emanating from God, but at the same time, it is an essential component of what God is. that God is love and he shares love each of the relationship. So, but the great analogy is given like a spark is minute, but it has, but it becomes, it has the potential to be a full fire. It has the potential. It's in contact with the fire, then the spiritual. So, because we're parts of God and we're meant for service, our spiritual function manifests only in relationship and contact to God. They're minute, but our dharma or function is completely full and potent. Because if we can have unlimited love, and therefore, although we're infinitesimal, someone who becomes pure can inundate the whole world with love. Explained all these points, and now the Babaji explains that this Nitya Dharma may be known by different names according to differences of countries and language. However, it is one and supremely beneficial. He loves God. His religion is perfect. Meet someone of another religion, although I have faith that in the completeness, and they are serving God, then you don't see a difference. You really don't see a difference. You don't see a difference. And and if you do, I always say this, and it's as I've kind of not so cloistered anymore, and I'm around out in the world, what I realize is that although you have faith in your line and your tradition of being complete, it's only a facility to be complete. And if you just label yourself, I belong to this organization, I have the best guru, and therefore I'm the best, it doesn't work that way. You have to become the best. And you may see, even though someone's tradition and knowledge is greater, but somehow or other they may have accessed it to get that love of God and then become completely fully enshrined. But he said the ideal example of Nitya Dharma is Vaishnava in India. That's really the ideal example. It's so complete. Just like, all the time in different groups, different religions, that what I feel really that I'm blessed to have is a complete connection with Vedic knowledge and understanding so that I can see the application of everything in life in relationship to God. The pristine state of Vaishnav Dharma is that Dharma which Bhagavan Satchinandana, the Lord of our heart, is for this reason that great personalities absorbed in the bliss of divine love have accepted the exchange and take anyway. Beautiful. That love of God, it is so beautifully presented by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in such a pure way. Beautiful. And now another question. At this point, Sannyas Thakur with folded hands said, Prabhu, I'm constantly witnessing the super excellence of the spotless Vaishnava Dharma which Sri Satchinandana has revealed. has clearly realized the contemptible nature of Shankaracharya's monistic doctrine. Still, something has come to my mind which I feel I must submit to you. I don't know how. Well, this is wonderful. This is trust. This is faith. When you reveal your heart to someone, that's faith. Even if you have weaknesses and even if you have faults, if you reveal your mind to someone, that's faith. And it's freedom from ego, because you're more concerned with being pure than looking pure. It's your objective, or to be pure. And sometimes to be pure, you have to reveal your impurities. I don't want to hide it. I understand that Mahabhav, which was displayed by Sri Chaitanya, is the highest state of concentrated praying. The attainment of perfection, of absolute oneness, is Vaita Siddhi. So this was his spiritual path. He was a follower of Shankaracharya. So Prem Das Babaji will reveal to him about, he'll also come to a conclusion that it's the same in one sense, because they begin at the same place with the understanding of the relationship with the soul and the body. Advaita Vedanta understands that you are not the body. Well, you have to transcend that. But their misconception is where we also feel that we're one spiritual substance. Itavad, it believes that although we're one substance, that there's only one soul. Now, the Vaishnav conception is that although we are one spiritual substance, we are individuals. A spiritual life means to understand the soul and understand our identity. So, but we don't merge. And of course, this view of perfection meaning no individuality, that in liberation we realize that all distinction, including our oneness, but also our distinction from God for that purpose of love. Otherwise, what, there's no love. If there's one entity, there is no love. The purpose of love. So, this doctrine is a very minority view. Practically, it's only of the six darshans, it's only of one of the schools of the six darshans that has this view. Certainly, the view of the Yoga Sutras, which discusses the Shesha Purush, a special soul. Certainly not the view which says the Tvevaham Jatunasam Bhikram Neme Janadipa. Never was there a time where I did not exist, nor you, nor all things, nor in the future, any of us. So, Prem Das Shankaracharya is none other than Lord Shiva, Guru. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu referred to him as an Acharya. In his own part, Shankaracharya is a perfect Vaishnava.
But at the time of this appearance of Lord Shiva, there was a need, particular view, very nice, and teachings Lord Chaitanya Prabhupada said, his philosophy was a only necessity and not an absolute fact. Because it is true, historically, what happened is the Brahmins misused the Vedas and took the sacrificial parts of the Vedas where there was animal sacrifice to open up slaughterhouses, which wasn't the application. The Vedas is very vast. Anybody wants to be purified, they can be purified. But everything was in context of a higher understanding. You know, you would perform that sacrifice because of your attachment to certain things. And instead of giving it up, it wasn't a promotion of those attachments. It was exactly opposite. So when the sanctions for regulation are used for the promotion, then because if there's violence, there's no spirituality. It's the big, you know, spirituality begins with some type, religion begins with some type of control of the mind. If the mind is uncontrolled, you can't take the spiritual life. But you can't see properly because the mind is like a lens and it's so distorted. Well, the grossest distortion of the mind is when the mind is uncontrolled and so under the sway of the materialistic ego that it loses all sense and exploits others. That's the grossest externalization of consciousness. Because the Vedas, which had sanctioned a way of regulating the activity of me, became sanction or allowance for the whole sort of animal. Then appeared. And the Vedas were being misused. Buddha rejected the Vedas and preached a particular doctrine against it, which was the body. So the necessity of Shankara and reestablish the Vedas. So, one second. Yeah, who is it? Who?
I don't know.
I'll pick it up. Right there, someone's on the phone. Hi, Krishna. Who is this? Who? Oh, you know, I'm actually in the middle of another call right now. If you can call back tomorrow, it'd be so much better for me. Thank you, okay? Oh, I get a call in my university that I graduated from. Okay, anyway, so he's explaining that. And then, you know, he reestablished the credibility of the Vedas, which is the basis of knowledge and self-realization when applied in a way,
and converted the Buddhist doctrine into the, which is Shunyavad, voidism, into Nirvishesh Brahman, that God is featureless. And therefore, Prem Das says this was an extraordinary feat to do this, even though, it still wasn't the essence of the Vedas. People back under that jurisdiction. So it was relative to a particular period of time and bestowed benefit. And the foundation was laid upon which specifically Ramanuja Acharya erected the edifice of pure dharma. So Vaishnavas reap the fruit of Shankaracharya's work, and they're saying Shankaracharya should be respected. And also, his basic philosophical premise of understanding the entanglement of the jivas in matter, that is also accepted by the Vaishnavas, that we're distinct and separate from the gross and the material spiritual bodies, that we have a spiritual existence, and that liberation means to transcend this. So that's the difference was the destination of the jivas. It wasn't a differentiated merging into the absolute truth. It was a unity in the relationship of service. See, because this prema is the function of two living entities who are attracted to each other. Anyway, we're going to finish. It's 9 o'clock, but we said something today. Would anybody like to ask a question or to say hello? Someone can please say hello.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Krishna Gail.
Yeah, I do have a couple. When you were talking about Krishnamayi, you said that when you recognize that you are not the controller, then love can come into your heart. So I wasn't able to, follow the logical flow there.
When your consciousness is, and you'll love this word, Gail, probably never heard me say it before, narcissistic,
yeah.
Right? You see the world in terms of your own desires. Right? And you see the world in terms of your own desires, then that means you want to control the world according to your desires. And love is the exact opposite. Love is seeing the world through the desires of others. You don't want to control your desires, but you want to move the world in relationship to the pleasure of God and others. So it's a whole different consciousness. And I think unless that movement or shift is there, it's very hard to find love, feel love.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah, and the other thing was when Sannyas Thakur was not understanding how the minute jiva could have something like full love or something.
So a full and pure, how its function can be full and pure.
How
and the answer
function?
Was, yeah, it's yeah. It's not.
Yeah, I didn't understand why that's a contradiction, you know, for him. Maybe I don't even understand what his question really was.
Yeah, well, the way I look at it, he was honing in on the concept of infinitesimal.
Yeah.
So he was wondering how it can be full of love if it was infinitesimal. You know, how can it have a Nityadharma prema of full love? And the answer to him was, is that even though it's minute, right, check its potency and power of its function, just like the function of a spark of heat, if it's connected to the fire, its full potency is there. As long as we're connected to God, we have the full potency of love. Okay.
I think about it.
Thank you. Oh. Okay. Thank you all.